Well, hello everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week of Turning Towards Life, which is a great delight for me, Lizzie, to be sitting here with you when you just came on. I said this to you when you arrived, but when you came on the screen, I could feel a great welling up of joy to be in your presence. So this is also a first for us because we're recording this in the dark at night, which we've never done before. We can't go live tomorrow because it is the third session of the year of our 2023 to 2024 professional coaching course, and we're right in the midst of things, and tomorrow is going to be a very full day, so there is not a minute for a Sunday morning turning towards life. And most things give way towards turning towards life, but the PCC, the professional coaching course, doesn't. So it's lovely to be sitting here with you in the dark late at night. Feels like a, to me, like a late night broadcast, which I suppose it is. Not that late, but anyway. And welcome to all of you who are here. I think I want to say a particular hello to the people who are participating in our professional coaching course, who are up to amazing things. Actually, we've seen a day, we've done our guest client day where people come in to be coached, and it's gone incredibly well, and I'm feeling filled with pride and joy at what's possible, how we can be for one another, how true and real and loving and kind and direct and generous it's possible to be. And that's what's been happening today. So I'm filled with that. So hello to all of them, and hello to all of you who are with us, new and old, near and far, in all the different platforms that you're with us. You're very welcome to be with us. And before I even pause, Lizzie, so that you can say hello, I'm just going to say to everyone, it's really thrilling to be teaching and learning coaching, which is one of the things that we are very committed to. And if you would like to do that with us, our professional coaching course for 2024 is coming up in the summer. And on the way to that, we have three of our two-day foundations of coaching programs that you can do online from anywhere in the world in March and May and July. And you're so welcome to join us. You can find all of that at wearethirdspace.org. And that is the end of my joyful and enthusiastic plug for all things Third Space. And now I'm being quiet.
Thank you for the plug, Justin. And hello to everybody who's on this year's professional coaching course, some of whom I know and others I don't. And my goodness, it's such a ride. And so I'm, of course, already making all these connections, Justin, between this source, The Most Important Thing by Julia Fehrenbacher, and what it means to be a coach in the kind of work that we do. And how you just said, it's amazing how we can be with one another with such realness and truth and presence, I think, something like that. And of course, we can do this in part for ourselves, but it's so beautiful when other people can do this for us. So this poem is both a nod to what we can be for ourselves, but also what we can be for other people as well, that we can be a home for other people's worlds as well as our own world in a world. So I'm going to read as usual, and we'll see where this takes us, Justin. And thank you for being here, and thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you for following and being part of the conversation with us. It's such a joy. And as usual, if you want to reach out to us, you can by finding us on our website, emailing us, interacting with us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. So this is called The Most Important Thing by Julia Fehrenbacher. And Julia, thank you again for just being the person who says things in just the right way, and who, you know, your depth and speaking of life through this spoken and written word meets me so many times. So thank you, Julia, if you're listening. We're so grateful. So here we go. The most important thing. I am making a home inside myself, a shelter of kindness where everything is forgiven, everything allowed, a quiet patch of sunlight to stretch out without hurry. where all that has been banished and buried is welcomed, spoken, listened to, released. A fiercely friendly place I can claim as my very own. I am throwing arms open to the whole of myself, especially the fearful fault-finding, falling apart, unfinished parts. Knowing every seed and weed, every drop of rain has made the soil richer. I will light the candle, pour a hot cup of tea, gather around the warmth of my own blazing fire. I will howl if I want to, knowing this flame can burn through any perceived problem or any prescribed perfectionism, any lying limitation, every heavy thing. I'm making a home inside of myself where grace blooms in grand and glorious abundance, a shelter of kindness that grows all the truest things. I whisper hallelujah to the friendly sky. Watch now as I burst into blossom.
Thanks, Lizzie. And thank you, Julia. I'm also very moved and enlivened by your words. This is the most important thing. I am making a home inside myself. A shelter of kindness where everything is forgiven, everything allowed. A quiet patch of sunlight to stretch out without hurry, where all that has been banished and buried is welcomed, spoken, listened to, released. A fiercely friendly place I can claim as my very own. I am throwing arms open to the whole of myself, especially the fearful, fault-finding, falling apart, unfinished parts. Knowing every seed and weed, every drop of rain has made the soil richer. I will light a candle, pour a hot cup of tea, gather around the warmth of my own blazing fire. I will howl if I want to, knowing this flame can burn through any perceived problem, any prescribed perfectionism, any lying limitation, every heavy thing. I am making a home inside myself, where grace blooms in grand and glorious abundance, a shelter of kindness that grows all the truest things. I whisper hallelujah to the friendly sky. Watch now as I burst into blossom.
Thank you, Justin. So, the place, as you're reading, Justin, that feels like the place I want to begin is that I know in me there is a kind of, like, I can't read this poem enough times. Like, it addresses something, a dynamic in me of, oh no, but this part really does need to be banished. This part really does need to just be buried somewhere because it's not okay. I feel like I could read this so many times because that seems to be hard to shake. That no, these parts of me really need to go away somewhere rather than be welcomed, rather than be held in this beautiful hallelujah kind of friendly sky. And so I bring this in the spirit of the most important thing that Julia's talking about, as being like allowing myself to be this kind of radically forgiving towards myself. Just feels like I need to be reminded again and again and again and again and again and again and forever. Because so far I always have pockets of, oh no, that piece needs to go, that needs to die. That's not okay that it's here. And so there's a judgment on inside me, on me, the various pieces of me. And then when I read this, I think, oh, I can be that radical. I can welcome my laziest part, or my most judgmental part, or my most afraid part. my most mean part, and they all have a home under this friendly sky. And thank goodness, it's that friendly. It's that friendly. And I know that, Justin, you're one of these people. There are people in the world who do welcome things. I think, how have they welcomed that thing? How have they been okay with that? And then they're the points. They're the people where I go, oh, that's what I want to be like. I really do want to be that person who goes, no, that is also welcome here. And of course, I know myself as someone who welcomes a lot. And I know I have some barricades behind which things are poked that aren't welcome. And so I think this is a kind of declarative recommitment to the fierce friendliness that's possible in a human being, and my wish and ambition to be that.
So good to hear you say all of that, Lizzie, and to hear the way that you're talking about, well, really what Julia's talking about, a commitment to growing something inside yourself. There's so many ways it would be possible to open talking about this. And one way would be to talk about falling short and how hard it is, and all of those kind of things that we can find in ourselves. So what I notice in your way of talking is the hopefulness that's in it. That however hard this might be at times, what it is when we commit ourselves to growing something. And actually, what I was thinking whilst you were talking, I was thinking, wouldn't it be fantastic if more of us got to talk about this earlier in our lives? Like, I know this as well, I suppose, because this Julia's talking about something so human. What it is when what we find inside ourselves is something that's not a home inside ourselves. We find that which excludes and that which judges and that which pushes away as our primary experience. And I so remember the moment in my, took me till my mid 30s. I remember being 35 and it beginning to dawn on me that my whole orientation, that the orientation inside myself, which was also the orientation of me to the world, was one of harsh judgment. I thought I was being, and of course, inside and outside are so closely related to one another. So I just thought everybody was talking about me all the time, judging me all the time. And it turned out that that was only happening very occasionally, that much more what was happening was something in me was talking about me and judging me all the time, and that that was everything that came in, sort of got put into that orbit. And it was a very, very, very painful way to live. And I didn't even know how painful it was until I started to see it and go, oh, look at what's, I didn't even see this. Look at what I've been doing. Look at what's been happening inside me. So anyway, the thought I had when you were talking was, wouldn't it be wonderful if when we were little, and maybe this happened for some of us, didn't happen for me, not because of any lack of care, just because I think nobody knew how to have this conversation. Sat down and said, let me teach you about growing a home inside yourself. A place of, I love this line near the end, a place of kindness that grows all the truest things. Let me tell you how to grow that inside you. Rather than us having to take 35 or more years to even begin to figure that out. So that was one beginning place. And then I suppose, well, many of us didn't get that. So how about we start now? And I think this line that has really hit me, touched me very deeply, is that line, a shelter of kindness that grows all the truest things. I think sometimes it's easy to imagine that kindness somehow is soft in the sense of like wishy-washy. Well, if I have kindness inside me, then I'll never get out of bed and I'll never do anything and I'll never be able to ask for what I want and I'll never be able to say no to people and all of that stuff that we imagine it will sort of make us put us in a sort of victim position in the world in places that we don't need to be and that we're not. So what about a shelter of kindness that allows us to grow the truest things? Because then the truest things can be fierce love and gentle love and the truth of what we value and the truth of our anger that sometimes is needed to break through injustices and the truth of our appreciation for one another and the truth of I could go on. To connect kindness and truth inside us rather than harshness and truth, I think is such a valuable act. And my guess is that more of us have harsh inner worlds than kind inner worlds. On balance, we've sort of equated harshness with the way to survive in the world and haven't seen that kindness can be this. So last thought is for now is that maybe there's a sort of revelation that Julia is offering us, which is to connect those two up and to grow something inside us, which is filled with kindness, in which nevertheless what we most need, I think we are oriented towards truth, us humans. It's really helpful to tell the truth. That's the home for it that Julia's talking about.
I can so find that in me, Justin, the in order for the truth to be told, it's harsh. Like the truth is a hurtful thing or is a sharp and exacting thing. And so to orient myself to life in a way where when kindness is happening, that truth could be really, really, really could be there in that kindness. The most truthful things might happen. And I've been thinking today about just the state of lots of our relationships in life is pretty messy. And we're saying hurtful things to one another all the time in the world, and we're not managing to stay in healthy relationships with one another a lot in the world. And I've just been thinking, what makes it that way? What makes it that way that we find it difficult to be in relationship with each other and for there to be peace and communication that is in service of truth and goodness? And I feel like this is the thing, that the way we're speaking to ourselves first and foremost, and the voices that we've acquired along the way, don't allow us to let each other off the hook because we can't let ourselves off the hook. You know, we're like holding ourselves and each other to these standards. And like an exactitude, that word is coming to mind. Like, you have to be like this, otherwise this can't work. And of course it starts here. But as you were reading, Justin, I got this, and of course you've been talking about what's happening, the program that you're running, this year-long program at the moment. And I know what that is and love it. And the reason I love it is because this is what I think happens over that time. When we're learning to soften and to soften and to soften, is that we get to be a shelter, an unusual in our current world shelter for our own and other people's harshness. And we get to rewrite harshness into kindness somehow. And maybe that's one way of describing the work that you and I are most committed to in the world, is we get to find the ways that we're mistreating ourselves and rewrite the story so that we can welcome ourselves and welcome what's here and who's here, rather than be slicing it to pieces the whole time, whether it's us or another person in the world. And so I just feel very connected to this being also the place from which we can relate. And I wonder how different the world might be if we were relating from this place, both with ourselves and others, and what kind of creation would be here if we did.
I'm reading a new pair of books at the moment that I'm really enjoying about the work of someone called Alfred Adler, who was he was a contemporary of Freud and Jung, but not as famous as either of them. It's a great book that someone introduced me to. Courage to be Happy is called, was one, and the Courage to be Disliked is the other one. And it's full of brilliant ideas, really clear, fiercely loving ideas, some of which are quite hard to read. And one of them is coming to mind as you're talking, because I was thinking about that the idea that's in this book is what Alfred Adler called separation of tasks, which is I have to figure out what's mine to do and not get you to do for me what's mine to do. And I think Julia's poem is talking about a task that is ours to do, not for other people to do. So I know that I spent a lot of my life, and I feel like I'm still in the process of shedding this, because I didn't really have a home inside myself, a fiercely friendly place, a place of kindness that grows all the truest things. I went looking for it in other people all the time, trying to find people who would be kind to me, trying to find people who would reassure me, trying to find people who would tell me nice things about myself. Desperately hoping that one day, somehow by doing this, I would feel I would be all right on the inside, like it was somebody else's job to be, for me to be all right on the inside. And not doing that work on the inside myself. And then also, of course, if people were unkind to me or harsh to me or criticized me, it was intolerably painful because I didn't have anywhere in me that I could find what Julia's talking about. And it's got me into so many scrapes, but also so many distorted relationships, like needy, needy, needy places where I was really primarily being in relationship, friendship or whatever with somebody else in order to get the thing that was missing in me that they couldn't give me. That's the thing about separation of tasks, which I really love. So it is my task to do what Julia says, not just because I get to burst into blossom, which frankly is a very delicious thought. Well, surely we should all get the chance to burst into blossom, and there's a lot we can do. Not just that, but because it also frees me from making demands on other people that they cannot meet. So Julia doesn't say that part in this, but it's implied in this, is that we do this for one another as well as for ourselves, which is what I came to this as you were talking about our coaching program, because to learn to coach in the way that we do it and the way that we teach it, we have to do this work to find shelter in ourselves so that we're not seeking getting supplied by the people that we coach with something. I'm not doing coaching you in service of me getting something from you which I need, which I can't find. As well as, you know, our husbands and wives and partners and children and parents and friends and colleagues and all of that. It's helpful in all of those places as well.
Oh my gosh, Justin, if anybody's listening on just audio, I've got this very kind of cheeky smile on my face because I can see all of the ways that I farm this out. Like, as you're saying that, I can find all of the ways that I farm out the jobs. So when you're saying, you know, separation of tasks of what's mine, what's yours, I can find myself making mistakes with that all the time. And for me, it mostly generates some kind of sacrifice story of like, this isn't fair. Someone else should be taking the pain, for example. Someone else should be suffering. I can't do this. Someone else needs to do this for me because I'm not big enough. I'm not capable. I'm not, you know, how do I, somebody save me. I think that's what happens for me. So the separation of tasks in my world very quickly translates to someone needs to be doing this and not me. And how do I get that done by someone else? And of course, it never gets done by anyone else. So I get into this spiral of feeling hard done by somehow. This can't be right. Someone needs to, I'm not capable, I'm not big enough, I'm not grown up enough. Someone needs to come along, and nobody comes along, and then I'm annoyed that nobody's come along to do the thing for me, that I feel inadequate to meet the task or feel less than in some way. So I'm really amazed and really grateful to be in that opening, Justin. And I think maybe this is a perfect place to end the conversation for me in this lovely kind of opening that you've brought. So thank you. And I'm going to be Googling Alfred Adler and finding separation of tasks and seeing what it can teach me. And maybe we could find a source that's really focusing on that. It'd be wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. Thank you, Justin, for being here. Thank you, Julia, again. And we're going to be back next time, next week, with another source chosen by Justin next time.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.